Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and I'd like to do a commentary on day 30. And the Bible verse is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 8, and it reads, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And again, this 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I wanted to, since we just came back from the retreat, and one thing that is wonderful about the retreat is that we get to see each other, definitely, but we get to do some good study. It's almost like having two and a half days of the Bible immersion workshops. Like in the Bible immersion workshops, we go over what we do for the day. And that's lovely. I love that when we're able to do that with each other. On the retreats, though, we take a book of the Bible usually, and this time it was 2 Peter, and we get to go to it and go back to it and talk with each other about it, and it's just a beautiful thing, as well as talk about the food. And that's amazing. We want to continue to do that, to make sure that we understand that we do not outgrow the need to be very careful about the food piece. We can be fooled, and we don't want to be that way at all. In the book of 1 Peter, as a reminder, it was written by the Apostle Peter. And there were people who had been followers of the Lord, but because of persecution, they were scattered in different places. And even some of these places, they were still facing persecution. And so the whole book of 1 Peter is designed for us to stand firm in faith, even when we have to deal with suffering and persecution. And because the way we do that is that we remember who we are in Christ, and we remember what our inheritance is in Christ. And so that is something that we need to even remember in terms of our own recovery. We're people in recovery. We are not going to allow even the blessings that we have, knowing that we are born again. We're not going to sit on our laurels, but we are going to be there for other people. And it's hard to be there for other people when we are into the food, whether we are in the food compulsively eating, or whether we are in the food obsessing about the food, our body image, and our appearance. And so we, in Bible for Food, the encouragement is to stay clear, clean, and committed. Clearly knowing what you're going to do day by day with your food. Clean, not wavery, sloppiness in the food, but clean with that decision and committed with that decision, not jumping about up and down and around and around, because all of those things, again, will eventually lead back to binging. And if we are binging, it's going to be very hard to do the work that God has called us to do. And so in the chapter that this verse comes from, chapter 5, it's a chapter about how do we go about shepherding the flock. And so Peter is a good shepherd. He is telling things to the elders of the church. And we are elders. Some of us, in terms of leading the sheep, how do you go about doing that? And so I wanted to read some of those verses from chapter 5 in 1 Peter and just talk about that as well. There's a section in 1 Peter, the first four verses, where Peter is giving instructions to those who are elders. And of course, those of us who are elders in Bible for Food, we are people who are born again believers, but we have also had some time of abstinence. We're clear, clean, and committed abstinence, and so we want to keep these things in mind when we're working with people, working to keep their eyes on Jesus and working for them to stay away from this evilness of the compulsive overeating. So that first verse says in 1 Peter 5, "So I exhort the elders among you as fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." And then verse 2, "Shepherd the flock willingly." Verse 3, "Lead by example." It says here, "Shepherd the flock willingly." The quotation is, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." Then verse 3, "Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." And verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And so Peter is telling them very with humility things that they need to know or to remember, that we are anchored in the authority of Christ's suffering and also in the future glory that we are going to receive. And so we are doing these things willingly. We are willingly taking care of our food. We are willingly helping other people who come behind us who need to learn how to take care of their food. So we shepherd the flocks of God, and we have to do that with care. We have care for them out of a willing choice, not thinking about ourselves all the time. You know, I want this, and I want this, and I want to do this, and whatever. How are we going to shepherd people? And one of the things that I know in terms of the abstinence is that it's going to be hard to help another person get abstinent if I'm sloppy with my food. And so that is one thing that keeps me on the straight and narrow. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be telling people to do something and I'm not doing it myself. I want to show. And he also, in that verse 3, was a reminder that we lead by example. You know, we must avoid harsh authority. We're not there, you know, telling people, you know, "You want what I have, you do what I do." No, that was what I used to do, but that's not what I do today, because I want to be fruitful in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is that I want to be a person of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That is my prayer, that I want to be that way. And I pray that's what you want to be as well. And one of the things the Bible tells us is that we are going to be rewarded for being faithful as elders. It reminds us in that verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." We're going to be honored by Christ at his return. There's another section before the verse that we get to in 8. And those are the verses 5 through 7. And there are instructions. It's instructions to the younger, you know, the ones who we are shepherding. Verse 5 says, Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so I know we had gotten into a discussion even at the retreat, you know, about sponsorship. We had a whole panel on that. But, you know, we also, those of us who sponsor, we are also sponsees. We are people who are being sponsored by people. And so we have to practice humility and submission, and we need to practice that and teach that to our, you know, the people who come behind us. We have to show respect to our sponsors, and we have to teach our sponsees to do the same. We are all called to humility. We want to remember what it says in Proverbs 3:34. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And, you know, proud people are not always the ones, you know, we don't have to, all, proud people are not always recognized as being sassy. You know, you always think of the sassy person and the arrogant person as being proud. But, you know, pride can take other ways as well. We can be as sweet as you know, whatever, and we can be as stubborn as all get up. And that stubbornness a lot of times can come up with this whole thing of sponsorship. We tell ourselves we don't need no sponsor. We don't need to be hearing from anyone. Or, you know, we do something where we can find ourselves in a situation where we're manipulating the situation. We're not really in a sponsor role. We are in a manipulative role. No, you want to find someone that you are willing to be submitted to. You know, submit yourself to them. Let them be an authority in your life, you know. And it says, humble yourself before God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. That's verse 7. So much of our eating happens out of anxiety. And so much anxiety happens because we are trying to be or do more than God calls us to be or do. I remember when I was first getting abstinent, there was some advice given to me. It says, put on your slippers and your robe. Put on your slippers and your robe. In other words, you know, keep in mind that if you are so busy that you cannot get your abstinent food together, you can't stay on your abstinent plan, you gotta always change it because you're so busy. Look at that pride piece that I am, you know, putting the back of the hand on the forehead. Oh, I am so important and people are so wanting me so much that I can't take care of myself. No, that's a lie from the devil. He definitely wants that. He twists that pride around, very much so. And if you are too busy to be abstinent, then you're too busy. That's the only thing I can tell you. I used to tell myself, you know, if it's so important that I got to eat about it, it's too important. It is too important. And then that section, and we were on verse 8 today, but actually 8 and 9 go together. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And then that 9 says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So, number one, going back to verse 8, we're called to be sober-minded and watchful because we have an adversary. And he's not just sitting down, you know, he is prowling around looking for someone, looking for a weak spot in us. So as Christians, we definitely must remain spiritually alert. The devil is real, he's active, and he is looking to destroy. And we got to get smart. We got to see the binge coming. We got to see the voice coming that says, oh, throw it all, don't worry about it. Don't do that, what you plan to do. Throw that food plan out the window, you know, eat whatever. You got to see that coming. You have to see it coming. One of the things I say to people, you know, plan your food before you get going in the day. Know what you're going to do. At least know that you are committed to that template that you have. You may not know whether you're going to have an apple or orange or, you know, or beef or chicken, but you know you're having 4 ounces off that plan that God has given to you. You're not going to smooch around in that. And I keep saying, watch out for that portion control, because that is usually that the devil is coming back. You know, coming back again. And he will use all kinds of lies to say, you know, oh, you not want to be doing this. Yes, you do want to be doing this. And in view of what life was like, you know, yes, you do want to be doing this. And I'm telling you, if you are thinking that this is too hard to do, you're forgetting what it was like when you were binge eating. You're forgetting. I've had people throw away their abstinence. I've thrown away my abstinence. But thank God it has not been for 37 years. But I definitely remember abstinence that I threw away. You know, when I had been abstinent, and then all of a sudden it was like that demon would come. And before I knew it, I was just doing, you know, chomp, chomp, chomping as if something was more important, you know, than me taking care of my food. No, in terms of that, because I'm here for the Lord. You know, I cannot serve two masters. And when I am serving that demon food, I am serving two masters. I'm not going to do that. And, you know, some people actually see my discipline as legalism, or they think it's strange, or they think it hinders their freedom. You know what? This is what I know about freedom. God says this: if you abide in my word, you are really my disciple, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm free because I know the truth. And this one thing that I do know about the truth: I cannot serve two masters. Either I will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. So my discipline is not strange. It might be strange to somebody who doesn't know anything about food addiction or what food can do or what it had done for me. But I have lived through the misery, and I have experienced the depression. I have experienced the hopelessness, and I have experienced that deep sorrow feeling, you know, like being brought, everybody feeling down, wondering if things are ever going to get better, or even feeling like I didn't want to live like that, live at all. You know, no. Food was the open door that led me into the pit. And that's why I'm willing every single day to do whatever it takes to stay out of it. I'm cutting off what leads me into the darkness. I'm done. I'm tired of the cycle. And so every day I make up my mind that I'm not going to go back. I'm not going there today. You know? And my aim is to please the Lord, not myself. I don't want food to take over my life again. I really don't. And that demon would love for me to do little word games, you know, about stuff. This is what I know today. I take care of my food. I'm clear and clean and committed for the Lord's sake. I think about the people who come behind me, and I want to be an example for them. I'm not a hypocrite. One day at a time, to continue to keep my food squeaky clean for Jesus' sake, and learning from the Word how to keep in step with the Spirit. But let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your great love for us. Help us to remember that there is an adversary out there, but we don't have to worry. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, you're faithful. You know, you will protect us from that evil one. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.